Before we dive into today's trip down memory lane, a quick shout out to the fine folks at Remind Magazine, who help keep the nostalgia train rolling. This season, the Pop Culture Preservation Society is proudly sponsored by Remind, the publication that understands your collection of Tiger Beat magazines, TV guide issues, and random lunchboxes is not clutter, it's history. We love when Remind lands in our mailboxes, and we can enjoy that analog experience of flipping through its pages and reading all about the classic TV shows and movies and music and all of those pop culture treasures that made us who we are. And as an exclusive offer to PCPS listeners, you can get a full year of Remind magazine for just $12. That's 86% off the cover price. Just go to remindmagazine.com/pop. That's remindmagazine.com/POP. And you can take advantage of this incredible offer. Trust us, you will be so glad you did.
There's a fresh new taste in soft drinks.
New lemony fresh Pepsi Lights.
With more lemony taste,
yeah. More than before. New lemony fresh Pepsi Lights.
Now Pepsi Light has even more fresh lemony taste. And still only half the calories of regular colas. It's the freshest, most refreshing cola around.
Yeah. It's the freshest tasting cola.
New lemony fresh Pepsi Lights.
Now with more lemony taste.
Welcome to another light and refreshing episode from the Pop Culture Preservation Society. These are the unplanned, unresearched, and unedited conversations we give you while we're planning and recording our next season. And today's episode is for all those people who read obsessively and voraciously all summer long, logging every book in your little mimeographed reading log so that at the end of the summer, you could win a prize like a Super Bowl.
Yeah. A bookmark.
Maybe one of those paddles with the bubble ball on the end where you can hit it.
I did love those,
actually. And the summer reading program at my public library, you would have thought it was like going to Disneyland. Like getting a free Super Bowl for reading 25 books, that seemed legit to me. Mm-hmm. That seemed like a fair trade.
Yeah. Oh, I just thought of another really good one we got. Did you guys used to get like the fun pencils that might have Garfield on them or something like that? Yeah.
Maybe a sticker.
Did you guys have one that had, like, we had something that was like a race? All of a sudden, I'm getting this picture of a horse that had my name on it.
Oh, yes.
It moved along. And then, like, you were trying to get to the finish line before someone else.
Were you competing against other readers? Because that's so 70s, right? Now everybody gets a ribbon. But who was going to read the most books and whose horse was going to get out
that's
in front?
That's right. There was this horse.
Mm-hmm. Michelle found the most hilarious TikTok of this guy. He had all of the materials from his summer reading programs. And if you recall, every summer had a theme, like a bookish theme.
Yes.
And they were always super contrived. And my favorite one that he had was in 1977, the summer reading theme was Star Words.
Yep.
And they had, then the mascot for the Star Words reading program was R2 Reader 2.
R2 Reader 2. And some of them were like superheroes. And what you got at the end was essentially a paper, like for every like milestone. So maybe for 5 books, then 10 books, then 15, you were getting another paper cutout superhero, and at the end, it made a paper mobile.
Oh, yes, to hang in your room. Yes. Oh, yeah. That's a prize.
I remember also just the certificate was super cool. You got a certificate, and my God, did we not love certificates?
Like, and it was a participant thing, right? Like, you participated. Best,
but just getting a certificate, and they had that kind of purpley mimeographed ink.
It was all mimeographed.
A little blurry with just the line where then your teacher wrote your name in, or your librarian if it was in the summer.
Right.
And I have a bunch of those still, and probably some of them are from summer reading programs. Some of them are from school. They're up in a tub, and I would have gone and gotten some to show you guys, but I think they're up in the attic, and I don't.
And it was always lovely cursive, like your name
lovely,
would be written in the most beautiful cursive.
But the actual certificate was just a piece of crap. It was just a piece of mimeograph, that purple ink on it.
Yep,
it wasn't like it was a certificate with a gold seal or a stamp or anything.
No.
But getting one of those was the coolest.
And it might have said something like, you were a super reader.
Yeah, or hot dog. You read and then a blank for how many books, you know? And the little hot dog would be like a little hot dog with legs and arms or something.
And the drawings were always hand-drawn. Yeah, like, there's no graphics program or anything. So somebody was writing that with a ballpoint pen. They did the R2 Read2 logo with their ballpoint pen, and then it gets mimeographed.
On the actual mimeographed, like the ditto form that I remember my mom doing, where she'd write on it or she'd do a quiz as a teacher, and that's the thing they put through the machine.
Yeah, you turn the barrel.
Was it a triplicate? I think it was. Yep. You know what, though? Just even talking about this, I get a warm feeling, and I truly, I'm not kidding. I get a warm feeling of that feeling of, first of all, just that school being out feeling was incredible. Just the possibilities ahead. But then when you pair it, and all three of us, you know, huge voracious readers, and I know a lot of you listening were too. And if you weren't, that's fine. Keep listening. But just of the thought of, I have a whole summer to read.
Yeah.
Like going to the library and getting a stack of books was just the best. And my mom used to get us some books, you know, like, oh, it's the last day of school. Let's go get some books for the summer. For the most part, we checked them out from the library. But I sort of took that. This kind of goes back to the conversation we recently had, the Light episode, about how we're parenting differently than our parents did, because what I then did, of course, my girls went to the library, but from the time they were in early elementary school all the way through high school, they always knew that their last day of school, like present, was we were going to go to Barnes & Noble or somewhere, and they were each going to get to pick like five books or something like that. And that was a huge deal. That was every single year. This is your summer. This is, what are the books you want to read this summer? You know, I remember when it got into like Sarah Dessen, and that was like, oh, wow, you're so elevated. You know, it started with like Magic Treehouse books and Judith Jones books. And then all of a sudden we graduated to John Green and Sarah Dessen. But summer, just to think you have 3 months and you just have all the reading time in the world. Isn't that just a delicious memory?
And I really, that was my job. Like when you got that reading log, I viewed that as my job for the summer.
Yes.
Like I was going to slay that reading log.
Yes.
Exactly.
But it wasn't, for all of us who enjoy reading so much, it wasn't even like, you know, kind of almost like challenge accepted, right? We were like, oh, like this is hard. But it was just so fun to have, I don't know, we were going to read whether or not we had a log and we got to get a pencil or a Garfield sticker or a Garfield pencil at the end anyway. But just the fact that we were going to document it, I don't know. Oh, yeah. There was just something.
That there is a reward. I mean, so I'm sorry. Cool that's cool regardless. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm loving that. And I have a distinct memory of this particular line of books. It was biographies, and I can feel and smell them as I'm talking to you guys right now, because it was that hard kind of pebbled cover.
You know
what I'm talking?
I
think they were all like maybe in the Orange family or whatever. But I loved this series of biographies. I learned about some I could tell you who Elizabeth Blackwell is. I could tell you that now. Do you guys know?
Yeah.
Tell me.
She was a nurse, wasn't she?
No, she was the first woman doctor.
Oh,
Clara Barton, nurse, and then Red Cross, and then Florence Nightingale. And that's where I read all of those. And then, some of the more obscure, like, not obscure, but, you know, Dolly Madison and those kind of people.
I can just picture those books.
Into it. And so I would be so excited when there'd be a new one, because I went through them kind of quickly and be like, oh, let there be somebody I haven't read about yet. Oh, my gosh. To this day, I'm speechless.
That's all. Think about this. You know about all these people, and you could probably tell me all sorts of details. This is very prescient, right? Like, this is telling us what future Carolyn's going to be like with her rabbit holes. But you know all about those people because of the summer reading program.
Yes. The Wright brothers. Yeah. Yes. I know all about them in Kitty Hawk, and they started in Ohio. And yes.
I had a thing for biographies of former child stars. And they were generally they were not children's books. I had to go into the adult section to get them.
Of course you did.
Of course.
Right. And she would read those after she was finished with the current issue of Reader's Digest.
Right. Farmer's Almanac.
So you're reading former child star. So, like, who are Spanky Shirley Arbuckle
Temple.
Or who?
Shirley, oh, yes. Shirley Temple. Will, Mickey Rooney.
Oh, yeah.
Judy Garland.
Okay.
Charlie Shirley Temple.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I think there were some Little Rascals people in
there. Yeah, that's who I'm thinking
of. And all
of.
The stories are tragic. They're all tragic stories. And I think that was part of what attracted me to them is I was, you know, I was a tween and I was getting a little melodramatic. And so I thought that was really cool.
Speaking of Reader's Digest, though, how excited were you guys? And I can't even remember what age I would have been when I discovered it. I was probably at my dad, like visiting my dad's mom, like my grandma or something. And she had it in the bathroom. I don't even know. I just remember feeling so grown up reading Reader's Digest, and I had like, because you know, you had so many short stories, but then you had jokes, and then you had like different submissions, and you had, I loved Reader's Digest. I was probably maybe like 12. I don't know.
I would read it cover to cover.
Easily. Probably 10. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was the coolest little publication.
Wouldn't you love to read that today just to see what you were consuming?
Yes. Yeah, we should do an episode or something where we each take an old Reader's Digest.
Should. Oh, done.
And
done.
Hit. Oh, done. My God. That is a brilliant idea.
Mm. I'm okay, going to go to the, totally I'm going to start looking for those in thrift stores now.
Okay.
Or like the, you know, like Goodwill and stuff.
Okay.
Okay. And there's some breaking news I have to share with everybody. So just the other day, one of our local news anchors posted about the return of something very, very exciting. Mm. And she was ecstatic. This was breaking news. Jana Shortle from Carolivan News in Minneapolis just reported that the Pizza Hut Book It program is back. It is back. Back. This
back,
is the
baby.
Program where you could go to Pizza Hut and get your reading log. And then after reading a certain number of books, you would bring it back to Pizza Hut and you would get a personal pan pizza.
Personal pan pizza. That was an 80s thing. That happened.
Yes.
It was like 1983.
It started in 1984.
Oh,
so a lot
okay.
of our people who were born in the early to mid 70s would have been prime Book
prime.
It people.
Well, yeah. I don't think I was.
For a while.
Was,
it did.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Because I as a teacher, I remember my students doing Book It, and boy, did you better not forget to give them their pizza thing. And those who know me well know that if anyone's going to forget, it's going to be Mrs. Cochran. I can just see some of those girls that were, who knows if they even read the whole book, but Mrs. Cochran, did you get my Book It certificate or whatever so I can go to Pizza Hut? And I'm sure their parents were like, just ask Mrs. Cochran again. She'll find it. She just doesn't remember where she put it.
You know, when I heard about this, I had to go and see what it was all about. And it's an app now, of course.
Yes,
it's an
now
app.
It's an app.
I was about to say the parents can have on their phone, but probably a lot of the kids that are at the age of doing summer reading can have it on their phone, but you just log your books and it keeps track of everything for you right in the app. They don't know what they're missing though with those mimeographed certificates. You can pin that on your bulletin board.
You keep that forever. You keep it forever. Like that guy with the
Star Wars. And you probably don't even get a certificate for your pizza. It's probably on your app.
Yes,
that you
just
go show them that we get a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can we talk a little bit about, I want to graduate a little bit to summer reading as like junior high and high school, because I had a really sad moment as I was researching this episode. And I think we've talked about a little bit.
Wait, you researched this episode?
Well, I was just thinking about some of the books that I had read.
Yeah, right.
We had talked about like kind of the demise of the mass market paperback.
Yeah.
And I was realizing those were all that I read those summers of like high school at the beach or at the pool. And they, you know, get all warped because of the humidity and you might be wet or your suntan oil went through the pages. But some of the things that I was reading, people were talking about how sad it is that we don't have these anymore because one, people were saying the portability of it. They were such a perfect size to throw
brick.
In your beach bag.
Yeah.
You know, because now those paperbacks, they're almost the size of a hardback.
It's like a 5x7. It's generally like 5x7, 5x8. And the bricks were what, like 4x6?
Basically. They're very small. Yeah.
And they were so accessible. So price-wise, they were accessible.
Yeah.
And they'd be at the grocery store. They'd be at the drugstore.
Yes.
Like you didn't have to go to a bookstore go get, you know, a James Michener novel. Like I remember reading some James Michener stuff thinking I was so highbrow, in high school. Being those really thick mass market paperbacks.
I like, though, Carolyn, how you said in like late junior high and high school, you were feeling like, I'm reading the books my mom just read or whatever. Yes. Same. And those were my prime Danielle Steele summers.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Danielle
right.
Steele, Sandra Brown,
Belle the Plain.
Sydney Sheldon for me.
Rosamund mm-hmm. Pilcher for me. I yep. loved all of Rosamund yep. Pilcher's
the
books.
Like
the Shell Seekers. And yeah.
Yes.
But every Danielle Steele book I could get my hand on, I would read, and I would read over and over. And you guys, she's still writing books.
Oh, God, it's crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Sometimes I see that Danielle Steele has a new book out, and I kind of am like, I kind of want to read one just to see if it's good.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's not like a little bit of a ghostwriter.
I bet.
It could be, sure. She's like a brand now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I always wonder, so when we're talking about the summer reading program and we're getting our personal pan pizza and we're getting our Super Bowl, and clearly this motivates us. And I'm just looking at everybody and I'm like, why does this have to end just because we're adults? So here's what I'm proposing. Every time you finish a book this summer, go buy yourself a present or go to Pizza Hut, one yep. or the other. But why not? Why not keep track of the books you read this summer? And then when you get to a certain point, you get a prize. You get to get yourself a prize. And I have a surprise for you guys. We are going to do a PCPS summer reading program, and I made a reading log. Do you want to see it?
Yes.
Okay. All right, here it is. I'm going to show it to you. The theme of the summer reading program is Come Sail Away with Good Books. And at the top, there's a little fishing boat, and there's a little word bubble that says, you're going to need a bigger book.
with a shark fin coming
with a
out of the water.
Fin underneath
and
it.
Actually, the boat yes. looks very much like the,
it
I forgot the name of it,
Jaws.
But the
yeah.
boat in Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
And you are, there are instructions at the top, and you are instructed every time you finish a book, there's a graphic on the top of a shelf, a bookshelf. And every time you finish a book, you have to color in one of the books.
I love
and then you put the title and the author, and then you have to rate it. There's a star rating, 1, 2, or 3 ratings. Mm-hmm. I love the rating part. So we have to decide how we're going to get this to
I know how.
Okay.
I know how.
Michelle
we're
going
to put that. So I think what we're going to do is we're not doing weekly readers currently. And anyway, that's really hard to save like a PDF from.
Yeah.
So we're going to put it on our Patreon page, but for all levels, even our free patrons. So
oh,
you
can
go
on Patreon even if you don't pay.
Yeah, you can be yeah. a free
follow
member
us
just to
on
kind
Patreon.
Of check it out. So follow us on Patreon, and that way you can see what kind of content we do post for the subscribers, and you can be like, I think I kind of want that, or I want to support the Pop Culture Preservation Society because I know that every single pretty much penny they have to spend comes out of their own pocket.
Yeah.
And I want to support them for this joy they bring me. So, and especially for the, maybe, hey, you know what? Maybe that printable of the reading list is mm-hmm. worth a $5 a month subscription to you.
That's right. Yes.
But we're going to put it on there. It's very easy to just download, and then you can print it off yourself.
And keep track. Put it on the fridge with a magnet.
Yes.
With one of those letter magnets. Mm-hmm. You know, all the
yes.
different colored letters.
If your refrigerator is magnetic anymore.
I know.
Oh, that's right. What a loss.
And then I would love at the end of the summer if people would take some photos of their reading logs, and then we'll get to see what people are reading.
I love this idea.
Maybe, yeah. yes. I don't know, maybe we could have a little reward or something.
Oh, I think they're in charge of their own reward.
I know.
It's just easier. Although,
well,
I don't
true.
Know, maybe we can go, maybe people can go in a drawing. Maybe
yeah,
you submit
yeah.
your
oh, for
photo
sure. we
of
wouldn't
your
be
reading
giving
log to each. A drawing, and we'll have a yes. PCPS prize. But otherwise, yes. you get your own prize.
Yeah, you get your own prize. You know what you want.
Go
you
shopping.
Know what you want. You know what you want.
Go shopping.
Yeah.
And if you're not a reader, right, I hope you haven't ditched us because you're like, you know what? I'm not really a reader. I have talked to so many people recently for whom reading has become very difficult. I get it. I totally get it. I don't know what glasses to use. I'm constantly trying to find the right ones. It's very hard to find the right prescription. People are falling asleep.
I fall asleep
regularly.
Oh, yes.
People talk about their not being able to focus. Their minds are wandering. We all know what that is. We're addicted to our screens, and it's fracturing our brains. So I'm just letting you know, this summer, I am once again going to do a phone
breaking
detox.
Up with your phone?
Breaking up with my phone again. It takes a lot of times, you guys. It's never permanent. It takes a lot of times. And I'm doing that in order to preserve my reading, because the more I'm on my phone, the more difficult and unenjoyable it is to read. And that's just sad. That used to be one of the most important things in my life, was reading a good book. And I've been robbed of that by Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes. So, and it's one of those things, once you read a good book again, you're it's almost a little addiction. Like you almost forgot what that dopamine hit was.
That's
and then
right.
you can't wait to read the next one. And in a few minutes, we'll be talking about what we've been reading and finishing. And that's, I just finished a book and that's exactly how it was. I couldn't wait to read it.
Yeah.
And
same.
Now yep. it's over and I'm ready to go get to my next book. I'm just in a reading
groove. So your motivation is back.
Yes.
You know what I've been experimenting with this idea that, you know, your mind is constantly seeking the dopamine hit and books don't go as fast as scrolling does. So I think that's part of why we're falling asleep and why our minds wander. And so first I thought, you know what, I'm going to try and meditate first before I read. But then I bought this tea. It's called Relax the Mind, and it's got ashwagandha and a bunch of other stuff in it. I don't like lavender and chamomile, whatever. I have a cup of tea before I read. You guys, it's working.
Really?
It's wow. working. My mind feels like it's slowing down a little bit.
Yeah.
And that I'm helps impressed. Me connect with the book.
I've got wow. some gummies that I should. I
Same. Same.
Yeah. Well, I've just started. I sometimes
Colorado.
Will put. My headphones on or my AirPods in and go on to Spotify or Insight Timer, which is a app mm-hmm. that I know Kristen and Michelle and I use, and just put in reading music. And there is music oh. that is specifically like for focusing and stuff. And there's like those binaural beats
yeah,
or whatever
yeah.
all that those terms are. And that really works too. There are no words, obviously. I couldn't do it yeah. if there were words, mm-hmm. but whatever is going in my head is helping me focus.
I'm yeah. doing that. I'm totally doing that. I didn't realize that was in there.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing that too.
And I have to give everybody permission too. If you are having difficulty reading right now, here are some of my tips. Read a shorter book. It's okay. It's yeah. okay. I'm very intimidated by the big fat book. I think part of it is I feel time scarcity and I have my TBR is so tall. I'm never going to get through that pile and I can't devote all that time to the Barbara Streisand memoir. It's okay to judge a book by its length. And what I found recently, I read a book that was only 170 pages and my motivation to read that book was so much higher and I didn't fall asleep. And I think we just need to give ourselves permission to not worry about
we
the
do.
Books.
And I would also recommend books of short stories like Curtis Sittenfeld
yes.
Released
yes.
one last year that's so good. And then before
show
I go
and
to
tell?
Bed at night.
Was that Show and
yeah,
Tell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yes, I think so.
Okay.
And I can think, who wrote Heart the Lover? Lily King has
Lily
a really
King.
Yeah, hers
one
are
too.
Good sizes.
I love hers,
or even
too.
Her books are not. Overwhelmingly
that's
large.
True hers her actual but she has a great book of short stories too
yeah
anyway
books.
Those are great mm-hmm. to sit down and read or to read at night. I one of my tips is that I always read before I go to bed. I'm a big bath person, so I read in the bathtub or I put when I get in bed at night I'm done with my screens, so I will start reading. Now, if I'm so tired I can't read, the worst thing to do is what I'll do. I'll be like, I'm just going to play one game of, you know,
yeah.
mm-hmm. matching tiles, whatever. But the other day, I'll tell you about this book in just a minute, but I'm reading such a good book that when I was so close to being done. And when I got up in the morning, I was like, you know what? I don't really have anything pressing that I need to do right now. I got my coffee. I sat on the couch and I read and I didn't fall asleep.
Yep.
And it was
You're
it
perky.
Was a lovely, lovely idea to maybe in the morning, instead of doing the things I normally do in the morning.
Instead of picking
get up
your
read,
phone, instead
read
of checking the 20, headlines,
30
pick
minutes.
Up a book.
Yeah. For 30 minutes.
Because
and
we all know you do it. You're all checking the headlines while you drink your coffee. Read a
right.
book instead.
Mm-hmm. And I've got to shake the feeling that I get that I'm guilty. If I'm
yes.
sometimes sitting and reading a book.
You're wasting time.
Yes. Like
yeah.
there's something else that I need to be doing. I've got to get rid of that feeling because mm-hmm. that, I think, keeps me, especially during the day.
That's it. Yes.
You know, like I'll read at night, but sometimes, and with this last book that I finished just yesterday or 2 days ago, I just said, you know what? I'm going to read.
I'm just going to give a plug for audiobooks too, because we also
yes.
have a lot of listeners who, you know, either they have some difficulty reading for one reason or another. If it's a vision issue, if it's, you know, just
time,
reading anymore.
Whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it mm-hmm. also could just be reading. Like maybe you're like, I'm such a slow reader and that just, that's just exhausting.
Different learning styles,
auditory
learners.
Put the book in your ears. And you know what? I do it because I then will do it when I'm listen to a book, when I'm on a walk, or when I'm always when I have to empty the dishwasher and fill the dishwasher, fold laundry,
if I'm cleaning, make the bed. If I'm doing laundry,
I'm absolutely going to be listening to a book. So that is considered, that's a break too. Just because you're listening, don't, you know, the three of us are big proponents of, is that reading a book? If you're listening to it, we say yes.
It's about the narrative that you're following. It's not about the decoding of the print. It's about being able to follow a thought for a prolonged period of time and keep track of the characters and their storylines and things like that. Back to our tips for people who are having difficulty reading, and this applies to everybody. It's not just people who are like, I don't read. Before I tell you my other tip, I have another essay book to share because you talked about short stories or essays. And that really is a good tip because you have no obligation to finish the book. You can dip in and out as you see fit. You don't have to get to the end. There's no pressure. And there is, we have a listener named Danny Alpert who wrote a book with the most hilarious title. It's called Hello, Who Is This? Margaret?
I love that so much.
I love it. And it's got the most hilarious picture on the front of an old lady with holding onto a telephone, a corded telephone. Hello? Who is this? Danny is so funny. She's real, and all of these are about her life. So it is a combination of tips for the tip being read essays and short stories combined with my next tip, which is read memoir. For some reason, dipping into somebody's life story is it's easier to attend than fiction for some people. And so Danny's life is hysterical. She is a full-on Gen Xer. There's lots of Gen X parenting in here, and she just has a really funny life. Hello? Who is this? Margaret? I mean, buy it for the title alone, right?
Yeah, exactly. I want to know the whole, what that's all about.
So memoir is good. And go one step further, celebrity memoir.
I love it. And those are my favorite on audiobook too.
Lena Dunham has a new one out called Famesick that I haven't started yet, but I have difficulty with audiobooks, but I can listen to a celebrity memoir. And so I can't wait to do Lena Dunham.
That's Christina Applegate's recent You with the Sad Eyes was phenomenal.
Yes. Everybody's loving that book.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So before we go, we'd like to share some of the books that we've been reading that we'd like to recommend for you to put on your TBR.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Can I add one last tip that I thought I didn't say because I thought for sure, because you say this to me a lot and or to us a lot, that I thought you were going to say, is also, listeners, if you get X amount of pages in and you're not feeling it, let it go.
Done.
It's okay. It's not a requirement that you read the book. You're not in school anymore.
Right.
So even if you're like, but I bought it. Well, guess what? Go put it in a little free library, someone else, and consider that a gift to someone else because someone's going to love it. So Kristen, you had like a formula of how many pages.
This is how long you give a book. I regularly quit books.
Yes,
same. It's not that the book is bad. This book is not for me. Somebody else will enjoy this
book. Exactly.
Let them enjoy it. It wasn't written for me. We're all different readers. Anyway, here's how you decide how many pages you give it. And I'm going to give you, there'll be one exception, but we'll talk about that later. And it is 100 minus your age is how many pages you give it. So if I'm 58, I get 42 pages.
Yeah.
I only have to read 42 pages. And if I'm not loving it, put it in the little free library. Somebody else will enjoy
it. Yeah, that's what I think too. And I'm like, now that I have my beloved little free library, I'm way more, what's the word I'm looking for? Like discerning maybe of what.
Your time is precious.
If I quit it, or if I finish a book and I go, was it 5 stars? I keep a little book journal and I'll be like, if it wasn't 5 stars, I don't even keep it in my house anymore.
I don't either.
I love my books and I love all my bookshelves full of books. But now when I look at my books, I'm like, these are all my 5-star books and I have shelves of them, but I get, because I have a little free library. And surely, even if you don't have a little free library in your neighborhood that you can donate a book to, donate it to your local library if it's in good shape, because then other people can check it out.
This is a good time to remind people too, that one of the ways that the Pop Culture Preservation Society covers its costs is by having an affiliate link with bookshop.org. This is an online retailer that is an alternative to Amazon. And instead of all of the money going to Jeff Bezos, the proceeds are shared with small independent bookstores across the nation. They've given millions of dollars away to independent bookstores. So what you do is you go to bookshop.org, and in the space up above, you can put in a bookshop shop's name. You can put in Big Hill Books, which is where I work, and then your purchase will go to those people that day. Or does it work differently with our affiliate links? I'm not sure.
If yeah, they still get money. And then because we our bookstore that we've claimed is Big Hill Books. So some of the proceeds goes to Big Hill Books. We get a tiny bit of it. Mm-hmm. I think in the past I've seen that, oh, for the last 2 months, you get $2.45 from bookshop.org or something. We don't, but still every bit helps us.
Every penny helps. Every penny helps.
More importantly, it's helping small bookstores stay alive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we have a really fun shop. You should go look at the books we put in.
We literally have book lists that we've curated. Yeah. Like, these are our favorites. These are, I can't remember what categories we have. And the books that we talk about today, we will be putting in our bookshop thing. So you can go and literally window shop at bookshop.org. You don't have to sit there with your pen today and write down all the titles because it will be in our bookshop.org. And if, you know, we always talk about becoming a Patreon member in order to help us cover costs. But maybe if that's not for you, maybe making all of your book purchases through our affiliate links on bookshop.org is a better way for you to support us. And we appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. The first one I want to talk about is not news to anybody, but I just want to make sure that if you're on the fence, that you're going to read The Correspondent. This is a runaway hit by a debut author and nobody saw it coming. It is growing organically, not because the publisher, you know, put her on the Today Show or anything like that. This is spreading word of mouth. And it's an epistolary novel about an older woman who's kind of curmudgeonly, and she worked for a judge, and she's just writing letters to all of the people in her life. She lives alone. She's got children. There are issues with people, but she has lots of different relationships. And there is an arc that you need to follow. So what I need to tell you, if you have not yet read The Correspondent, you need to get to the halfway point. So that formula that I told you about before, where you only need to read 42 pages, for The Correspondent, you might need to read half before you are suddenly so invested in this curmudgeonly woman and what her life is going to be.
Right. And also because a page might only be, because it's an epistolary novel, each page is kind of devoted to a letter. So when a new thing starts, doesn't it start like a new page? Mm-hmm. So you might have a page that only has like, you know, is half full.
Half a page.
So to speak. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
It'll go fast.
So I think it's very important that you get to the point you said, Kristen, before you throw in any kind of towel. And it's a different way to read, but I am all about those epistolary novels.
I do too.
Yeah. A lot out there. And it'll make you want to write a letter. And
it really
does. You guys,
does.
I tell you, it is the easiest dopamine hit you can get. Writing it, you feel great. When the person gets it, they feel great. And then they write you back or they text you about how great they feel. Then you feel great again. Yes. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
I want to tell you about one other novel that is written by a friend of mine. We have the same publisher, and it's coming out at the beginning of June, which I think is right now. We record this earlier, of course. And this book is a young adult title. It's called Channeling Marilyn. A lot of people like to read young adult. And some adults, it's become so accepted that adults read young adult books now. It's actually a genre that people are like, well, what do you like to read? I like to read young adults and blah, 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 and romance, right? So this is a young adult title, and it's short. You can put it in the short category. And look at this cover, you guys. Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
This is the story. If I know there are a lot of people from our generation who had a real fascination with Marilyn Monroe. And the same can be true for the author. Her name is Mima Tipper. And she is one of those people who still to this day has a real fascination with Marilyn Monroe. This book is for the theater kids. This is a story about kids who are putting on a production of Bus Stop, the Marilyn Monroe movie Bus Stop. They are putting on a theatrical production in their high school. And the person who is cast in the Marilyn Monroe role is so un-Marilyn Monroe-like. And she's like, how am I ever going to do this? I can't do it. Oh, until she's visited by the spirit of Marilyn Monroe. And that's where things get a little dicey. It's really very, very sweet and very cute. And it made me want to go back and watch all of Marilyn Monroe's movies.
Oh. Makes Carolyn want to go check out one of those pebbly orange biography books on Marilyn Monroe, right?
Channeling Marilyn is what that one is called.
Well, I want to, the first book I want to talk about is the one that Carolyn, like you said, over the past, you know, however many days, is one that I have devoured. And read every night until my eyes closed. And I know you all loved this book mm-hmm. too. But this is a book called Everything Has Happened. And it is by T. Greenwood, who is a friend of the Pop Culture Preservation
yes.
Society.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to say thank you so much to Tammy for sending us the advanced reader's copies of this, of her book, which is available now. Was released in April. And you guys, it is so delicious. It's a mystery. But here's the thing. I love a book like this so much because I don't like grisly murder mysteries. I don't like people being trapped or scared. I don't mm-hmm. like them being scared or then murdered. Now, yes, this is about a young boy who in 1986 went missing. We don't know what happened to him. Was he kidnapped? Was he, you know, is he lost? Is he still out there, you know, 50-something year or 37 years later? But the thing I love about this book is that it goes back and forth, but the main characters, Charlie definitely is as a main character, but the main character, Edie, is his sister. She was 18, but it goes back and forth.
Between the years, you mean? It goes back and forth yes. between 1986 and now. Yeah.
Present.
It's going between 1986 and 2023. And, but it's so great because, yes, at the heart of it is this mystery, right, of this, this boy. Because now we're in 2023. He's been missing for how many years?
Right.
But every time we go back to 1986, it's like the year leading up to it. Mm-hmm. to when he went missing. So every time we go back to 1986, we get these delightful just slices of life from 1986
it's
that all of us—
chock full of 1986.
Chock full that yes. all of us can relate to. For instance, I'm going to read straight from the book here. I say, oh, so another one of the main characters is named Trill, and that is Edie's new girl in town who becomes Edie's best friend, and then the relationship that grows between the two of them is just fills your heart. It's so wonderful. So Trill says, the Oscars are on Monday night. Maybe I could come over to watch. The idea of Trill coming to my house made me feel queasy. I thought about Andy, the way she hadn't wanted Blaine to pick her up at home, ashamed of how different their lives were. Though Trill certainly wasn't a rich snob, her home was magical, beautiful, artful, while mine was not. She thought John Hughes was middle America. I tried to imagine Trill sitting on our ugly plaid couch eating popcorn from the stainless steel barf bowl. Wondered what she would make of our matted shag carpeting and popcorn ceilings.
It's so
little, just all
full.
The way yes. that T. Yes. I mean, her name's Tammy, but she writes under T. Greenwood. But the way she drops all these references in, didn't you guys love that?
Well, it really, it's important because you have to believe that you're in 1986.
Yeah.
Sorry. And it really does a good job of placing you right there. You can, mm-hmm. you start to remember things. You get Husker Dude about things. Like you even know, you just mentioned the Oscars. They talk about all the contenders for the Oscars and who yeah. they hope will win. Do you guys want to know who the contenders
yeah.
for the Oscars
yes,
were?
I
I'm going to tell
this.
You right now because she includes
this.
It. This is a whole conversation they have. Okay. So I'm just going to tell you. So who hosted that year? Robin Williams and Jane Fonda did. So there has to be a little Mark and Mindy talk, right? And then the Best Picture nominees were Witness and Kiss of the Spider Woman and Brazil and yeah. The Big Chill. Is that right? But things like that just make the book so much more authentic. She's not just saying, we had really big hair and we used Aquanet, right? She's really
right.
grounding you in the time period.
It's very organic the way
yeah.
that she weaves in those little moments that all of a sudden you're there. You're not there necessarily. I mean, it's written so well, but you're there because you've been there,
yes.
literally. Like you
yes.
have, mm-hmm. There's a scene where her mom has marked in the prom issue of a 17 magazine some prom dress
right.
Dresses that could be an option. Not just any prom dresses, gunny sack dresses.
Yeah. Oh my God. And
so,
the ruffly and the
yes, and
yeah.
the pastel. I think she calls them like Easter egg pastel colors. And you're there. You have been there.
Yeah.
You know that issue. Probably you're in your head thinking, oh, I can think of those ads. I know that. And so it's it's a way of almost being seen. I can remember the very first time I had one of these moments was when I read Judy Blume's Summer Sisters. And I actually went back to look at some parts there, to look at some of the parts in the book, as well as she has, not the chapters don't have titles, but the parts of the book of Summer Sisters have titles. And they're all song titles. And I remember thinking how creative and how marketable this all was, because this book came out in the early 90s when we all, Summer Sisters, sorry, I'm digressing a little bit. And that's when we're all kind of coming into our adulthood, having kids. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes. So the two characters, if you haven't read Summer Sisters, they have the same experience as we had in the summers of, you know, 70s and 80s. And she, just hear me out here. I remember looking at the parts that she titled, and I thought, she is so smart. We know Judy Blume is
But yes, of course.
I just loved these titles. So one of the parts is called Rapture. Part three, We Are the World. Part four, Didn't We Almost Have It All? Part five, Steal the Night. And then they have dates next to it. But I just, I loved that. I felt seen. So to the point
I'm going to put that on my list for this summer. I never read that book.
Oh, you didn't? No, oh, you'll I love never it. I did it. A reread about two summers ago, and it's definitely a great summer reread almost every year. I will also say that Summer Sisters is a good example, but also Everything Has Happened by T. Greenwood.
Which is the one we were just talking about.
Yeah. And what we love about it is it's not just a book that takes place in 1986. We love those books, too. We have a lot of those in our bookshop.org stores. Mm-hmm. But this, because it's going between 2023 and 1986, the 2023 version is us.
It's us.
She's dealing with taking care of her mother. Mm-hmm. She's dealing with her older daughter who was at college during COVID, but who now moved home and has stayed at home. Yeah. Right. Remember? And then she's still trying to solve this mystery of the missing brother. So I loved it. Sort of, it was almost towards the end when we're back in 1986, or I don't know, the reference of Cyndi Lauper coming on the TV at 10:30 going, do you know where your children are? And how that's hitting differently because her brother was missing.
Oh, yes.
And so that made her really upset. But what I loved about the book was because we kept going back and forth and very short chapters, like each little 1986, you know, memory was only maybe two pages. I love that when you can just keep, it just keeps that story moving. Like I said, you all earlier, we all devoured it. We loved it because it was so fast paced.
Yeah.
You're still solving the, you're still trying to figure out what happened to Charlie in 2023, but we're going back to 1986 and there's some new things that are coming to light, some new clues
from 2023.
Now we're seeing them in a new light in 1986. And, Does the mystery of Charlie's disappearance ever get solved? Yes, it does. I'm not going to say anything else about that. Everything comes full circle. So yeah, so everyone, we love T. Greenwood. We love many of the books she's written.
Everything Has Happened is the title of that
such,
one.
Yes. Everything Has Happened. Yeah. What is the other one that we all really liked?
Such a Pretty Girl. Such a Pretty Girl was a book from a couple of years ago, I think, that we all read also. Yeah. And this was also a little bit, it had some retro vibes to it in that it sort of was inspired by the story of a certain teenage model, you might remember.
Yeah, that we were all obsessed with.
We were all obsessed with her.
Calvin Klein obsessioned with her.
That's right. And she had a very interesting relationship with her mother. So is it about that? No, it's not. It's just sort of reminiscent of that story. That one's called Such a Pretty Girl.
So yay, T. Greenwood, thank you for being a supporter of the Pop Culture Preservation Society. And we highly encourage you all to become a fan of her books.
I want to piggyback on Carolyn's Summer Sisters reference because there's another book that uses song titles as chapter titles as well. And it's actually written by another one of our listeners. I have two books from our listeners today. It's called Yesterday's Song. It's by Kay Meldrum Denholm, Yesterday's Song. And I'm just going to read you the title. I actually wrote a blurb for it. She so kindly asked me to write a blurb for her book. And I'm just going to read the last part of it here so you can get a little gist of it because I read it so long ago. Told amid a backdrop of history, with a 70s pop rock playlist and questions for a book club, the psychological saga Yesterday's Song explores recovery from loss and trauma, the definition of family, the necessity of love, and the nature of forgiveness and redemption. This sentimental novel, a coming-of-age story for baby boomers and Gen Xers in the 1970s and 1980s, centers on the power of music in healing, identity, inspiration, and connection. Well, that's kind of like what our podcast is, right?
Yes. I just finished in the last couple of days, Yesteryear, which I almost think we need to have a PCPS book club at some point to discuss it.
I did Yesteryear book club on Sunday night.
Oh, you did?
I already did Yesteryear book club. Keep going, Carolyn.
It's my next one to read.
Well,
my top of my TBR.
I really loved it. And loved is a weird word. I wish there was a different word to use because it really challenged me and it made me think in different ways and understand things differently. And I can't say that it's tied up with a pretty bow at the end or anything like that, but it has an end. Yes, definitely a page turner. I thought it was a fast read. It was the book that I talked about earlier in the episode that I was like, heck, I'm going to sit down and read this. It's enjoyable, but again, that's a weird word to use for it too, but you need to read it. Let's just say, everybody, you need to read it. Anne Hathaway has bought the rights to it, so it will be hopefully a movie at some point.
It's going to go fast because the fervor is so great right now. This is the number one book that is being talked about. We had The Correspondent for a while, and now Yesteryear is all just Google Yesteryear and you will get so many hits. And
I'm so excited to read it.
It's so good. I mean, so good. Just like you said, Carolyn, like good is good the right word? Compelling. It's compelling.
Definitely compelling.
And you'll want to talk to somebody about it.
And creative all like the ways.
I'd like to recommend also for your summer reading list a book called Where the Girls Were by Kate Schatz. I picked it for the cover. And I stayed for the story. The cover is so groovy and so the cover is a piece of art. It's fantastic. But it's basically the story of a young girl who is finishing her senior year of high school in the late 60s in San Francisco, or just right across the Bay Bridge from San Francisco. And she, just lives up in she was, going to be the valedictorian. She's going to Stanford. And she's done everything right her whole life. She has dotted every I and crossed every T, and her mother throws the best parties and, everything. She is the quintessential good girl. And she goes to a party one night with her kind of wild cousin, but it's like her best friend over in San Francisco. And she falls in love with a hippie, and she gets pregnant. And what's going to happen now to all of the dreams? She is pregnant. This is going to be, what is her mother going to tell all the women at the club? She still has, she still has to, finish high school. She has to, I'm not spoiling anything. This is all, I think, on the flap, but she's close enough to finishing high school that she's able to graduate high school, and nobody knows. But her mother decides to solve the problem by sending her away to a house for unwed mothers in San Francisco. But her mother's going to tell everyone that she's taking a year to go to France and study art history.
Of course.
And so when she leaves, her mother gives her a stack of postcards that have the Eiffel Tower on it and everything. And you're going to need to write these to me so I can put them on the fridge and everything. But the entire story is basically about all of the other characters. Who are all these other pregnant teenagers? And what are some of their backstories? And how are they treated? I'm happy to say it's not a story about abuse or like anything like that, but it is very much about this was happening in the 60s all over.
Oh, more often than not.
Yes.
And, abortion was obviously an issue there, but it was still very, you'd have to go to a dirty alley and, risk your life. But it's about all of the choices that were taken away from these girls. Yeah. This is when they basically, once they start going into labor, they drug them so that when they wake up, the baby's already gone and they can't have any, they can't change their mind. They can't whatever. It is so good and so readable and so quick. And you will fall in love with the main character and a lot of the other girls that she, you get to know their backstories and they become this little family, these other pregnant girls. And then I loved it, you guys. I highly recommend it. It's called Where the Girls Were by Kate Schatz.
With the good cover.
Such a good cover.
Carolyn, what else have you got?
I also recently finished two books. Both were recommended to me by Michelle. So one was called My Husband's Wife, right?
Mm-hmm. I listened to that one, yeah.
Okay. That was really good. And then Finding Grace, which I know both of you, yes. I think, read.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did you finally read it?
Yes. So I finally finished that. Both of those are excellent. I listened actually to both of them while walking Duncan, because I have to walk Duncan now because I can't just let him outside. So there's a lot of walking going on. So there's also a lot of listening. And those were two that I finished within the last like 3 weeks, both of those.
Good.
Yes. And I loved both of those. So good, happy, so to speak, stories.
Feel good stories.
Yeah, well, My Husband's Wife, maybe not so much, but but still good.
Okay. We haven't had any nonfiction, so I'm going to throw a nonfiction title out there. This one is called I Like to Watch. I Like to Watch.
Oh, I've seen that cover. I love that cover.
It's about TV. So everybody get your mind out of the gutter. It's about TV. And it's another collection of essays. So if you don't want to commit to a whole book, you can pick and choose what essays you read. This is by a woman who's a TV critic. And her whole argument, and this is what I love, her whole argument is that, yeah, I know, we called it the idiot box. And there is a lot of schlock on there. But the truth is, TV is an art form and it is deserving of criticism. And so she grew up and she became a TV critic. And she writes reviews and columns about TV shows. So this book is just a collection of her columns and reviews. And so you can read about The Sopranos, All in the Family, Girls, Sex in the City. It is feeding me because this is our art in this day and age. This mm-hmm. It's not a throwaway medium. We spend mm-hmm. a significant amount of our time watching TV, and she's giving it the, oomph that, okay, that yeah. in terms of the... This sounds ridiculous. She's giving it the consideration. There we go. I got it.
Okay.
She's giving it the consideration that it deserves. If you mm-hmm. want to talk, if you want to revisit the last, the finale of The Sopranos, she's got a column for you in here. She's got a review.
That's a hot topic.
It is a hot topic. Yeah, it's really good.
Well, moving on to just the last two audiobooks that I have listened to that I like I would just be sitting and listening, and I do a lot of like needle pointing and stuff, and sometimes I don't want to watch a show, so I'll listen. One of them is called Man Mabel, and that's kind of a hot book right now that people are talking about. It is by Sally Hepworth, who has a whole bunch of books. Mm-hmm. I've liked almost every Sally Hepworth book I've read. This one I've listened to, and just because I was like, if I put this on my TBR, if I go buy it and put it in my TBR pile, I'll never get to it. I just know it's going to getting pushed down. You guys, it's such a delightful listen. The two narrators are perfect because the whole story is Mabel when she's young, like a teenager, and Mabel when she's now in her 80s. Aww. So the old Mabel, the narrator is perfect. And they're Australian, which I love a good accent. And an Australian accent is my favorite accent. And the old woman, I don't know, I need to look her up to see if she's actually an old woman. I think she has to be. She is brilliant. Mabel has the strongest voice in this book, and both narrators, young Mabel and old Mabel, nail it, and she is funny as hell. I have laughed out loud so many times listening to this book. It's also kind of a mystery type book, but not the gruesome, bloody, and scary. You know, I don't like gruesome, bloody, or scary. And I have enjoyed it so much. So I highly recommend Mad Mabel, either reading it, but I really recommend the audiobook on that one. And then a nonfiction book that everybody's talking about right now called Strangers by Belle.
Oh, yes.
Belle Burton.
Listened to that one too.
I listened to it too, yeah. And Belle reads it. And so I just loved hearing in her voice. She's just very kind of level. Like her narration is just very level, but it's her story.
But it's her
and
own
so
story.
I
that
love
makes
it when
the
it's
difference
their own
the
story.
World.
And you guys. Yeah. This is bonkers. It's called Strangers, A Memoir of Marriage. And it's, I know that it's been so helpful to millions of people going through divorces or that have been in a divorce. I've been in a very, very happy, supportive, positive marriage for coming up on 33 years this month. And I still loved it because it's a story and you can't believe this happened to her. This is one that I did a total Carolyn after I read it. I went down every rabbit hole. It was an Oprah's book. So she has a great interview with Oprah Winfrey.
Okay.
I've seen her on Drew Barrymore now. I've seen her anytime I follow her on Instagram because I am so Team Belle.
And yeah, no
I
kidding.
Love hearing And I just love that this was so healing for her. This writing was so healing for her because she was done dirty, you guys.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. And it's one of those stories that makes you, and everybody, whether it's you or somebody you know, everybody has a connection to somebody who's had a very happy marriage. And then one day the wife or the husband came and said, no, we don't. And I'm leaving. And you're like, but what? No, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. And her husband just got up and left in the middle of COVID.
And not just got up and left, but told her, I don't want to be in this marriage anymore. And they had children at the time who were in their teens. All three were in their teens. He also said, I want out of this marriage and I want out of this life. I don't want anything. I don't need anything to do with the kids anymore. I don't need anything to do with
you.
Yeah, didn't want any of it. He wanted to completely do a 180 on his life.
I don't want the houses. You can have the houses. You can have the kids.
How did she get through it? I couldn't stop listening because I couldn't stop hearing where her journey was going to go next. And we're all so glad that she has gone on this incredible healing journey. And she was at Oprah. Her story became, that story earned her a sit down,
another
trip
short
to Maui,
book,
a trip to Maui and a sit down with Oprah.
Yeah, and it's short. It's short.
Yeah,
and
so good.
And for those of you who don't listen to audiobooks, I have difficulty with audiobooks. And this one, I can listen to a memoir read by the author. And so this one did a really great job.
I love that.
I have one last book that I just started literally last night, you guys, because let me tell you what happened to me last night. I went to pub choir. Do you know about pub choir?
No.
Okay. This was at First Avenue, if you guys know what First Avenue is.
Of course.
750 people, we all packed into First Avenue, where a woman named Astrid Jorgensen stood on the stage and taught the 750 people how to sing the song We Belong by Pat Benatar in three-part harmony.
Amazing.
You guys, it was life-changing. Singing Pat Benatar with 750 people?
In harmony.
And so the woman who was on the stage, her name is Astrid Jorgensen, and she has a memoir called Average at Best.
I love that.
Average at Best, because her whole theory is, she said, only a few people can be best. Why are we all trying to be best when only five of us will be best? The rest of us are average at best. And why should we, the average people, not be allowed to sing? We should all be able to
sing. Thank you. Yes.
Even if we're not the best. And so she's so funny on the stage. She's like, okay, if you don't know, I'm going to tell you this part, but if you can't figure it out, go find the music teacher. There's somebody around you who can sing it. You have to stand by them. And then you just copy them. Hold hands. Everybody hold hands and just copy that person next to you.
Oh, my heart. It sounds so wonderful.
Yes, my heart was exploding. And you get to know, like, the people around you, everybody is so earnestly into it. And everybody is around you is like, you're just bonding. You're bonding without even, like, there's one guy who kept, every time we would sing, he would, like, turn around at a certain part and look at me and, like, nod. Like, we're doing it.
We're doing it.
It was so
fun.
Healing. And fun. And as we walked in, we were like, what do you think the crowd's going to be like? Because first of all, it's First Avenue. Long ago, I was like, I think this is my last concert at First Avenue. I'm too old for this now. And the song was a retro song. It's Pat Benatar. But Astrid Jorgensen is in her 30s. So we're like, it sounds very trendy. It's very, very trendy. You guys, it was 100% Gen Xers. All of us.
And you know what? It's probably not a coincidence that it was all Gen Xers, because I would have loved to have been in a choir when I was growing up. But you had to try out, and I was probably not even average at best. But I never got to do that. And so I wonder how many other Gen Xers would have loved to have been a part of a collective choir. But, you know, either you had to choose an elective and you were in band or something. But
that's
the thought that I
for.
Could do that. Is she on tour? Or
yes,
she
she's on tour. So check it, pubchoir.com.
Yes.
Check it out, because it could be coming to a place near you. I highly recommend it. You will feel like $1 million when you walk out.
That.
Her memoir, Average at Best. She's from Australia also, by the way. So I'm in my mind, I'm reading it with an Australian accent, and she is hysterical. So not only is this short, it's also super funny. And because I'm reading it with an Australian accent, it's also very endearing. this book is complicated, but stick with me here. The book is out in Australia right now. In the US, it will come out in August, but we were able to buy it because we were at her event. That doesn't mean you can't pre-order it. Mm-hmm. You can pre-order it right
very
now
important.
And you'll get it in August. So it'll still count for your summer reading log so you can get your Super Bowl.
Well, I'm going to share a couple that are on my TBR list, and I've added actually a couple more as we have been talking because I am going to do several of the books that you guys have mentioned. But one that I'm really excited about is called Work in Progress. Okay. It is a memoir. It is by James Martin, who is a Jesuit priest. Huh. Why are you going to do that, Carolyn? Actually, one of our listeners emailed us and said, you guys have to read this. This is so Gen X, this book. You won't even believe how Gen X it is, because here we are. I know who James Martin is, and I do love his message. And in terms of the Catholic faith, he's on the side I would be on. Mm-hmm. But anyway, his title is Work in Progress, Confessions of a Busboy, Dishwasher, Caddy, Usher, Factory Worker, Bank Teller, Corporate Tool, and Priest.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to listen to that.
Did the whole thing.
I'm going to listen to that, yeah.
And Stephen Colbert has a blurb on the back. Mary Carr, who I love, kind of the queen of memoir. And he has an accompanying playlist. It's the playlist that he listened to while he was writing the book. And I just want to share some the songs on his playlist. The very first one that comes up, Afternoon Delight. Our Jesuit priest has Afternoon Delight on his thing. Let's see. Bohemian Rhapsody, We're All Alone, Rita Coolidge.
Oh, I love that song.
Summer Nights from Greece.
Yeah.
We've got Dust in the Wind, Roxanne, One Way or Another. Rosalita, another one of my favorites, Bruce Springsteen. We got The Beat. He's got the Go-Go's on here. He's got, let's see what else. There was another one I wanted to. Emotional Rescue by the Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
The Logical Song by Supertramp. I mean, this could be in my playlist of my youth.
That's a good playlist. It's a really good playlist.
That this is going to be really interesting to read because he, up until the priest part, I mean, there were so many other things that I could relate to in terms of jobs, and I'm sure many Gen Xers could. And the cover, well, you guys can't see it, but it's like him in a photo booth, literally like when he was a teenager. And so
it's so cute.
Film from when he was in a photo booth. And I just love the fact that it's so Gen X centric that we had a listener email us and say, you got to listen or read or listen
that's
to this
book. That's
a good
recommendation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that is one. And then the other one that I thought looked really interesting, kind of picked it up for the cover and the title and the subject matter. It's called You Didn't Hear This From Me. And it's kind of an anthropological look at gossip and why we gossip. And you know, I figure we kind of do it on here, so I felt like maybe I could give it a little bit of some science behind why we like talking about other people.
Yeah.
So there you go. You didn't hear this from me.
Two other titles. And again, everybody, all of these titles will be in our bookshop, .org shop. But two others that I have read in 2026 that are 5-star reads from me that I've loved. One is called So Old, So Young by Grant Ginder, G-I-N-D-E-R, very take on a Big Chill type thing. You're going to follow the same group of friends through for decades, but every chapter is a different party they were at.
Oh, cool.
So that's how we get their relationship, but very much a friend group that grows. And so they're all about our age now. So that's what's kind of a fun thing. And then American Fantasy by Emma Straub.
Oh, American Fantasy.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it's very much, it's a cruise. It is also actually all based on a fangirl cruise that Emma Straub went on. Was it New Kids on the Block?
New Kids on the Block. Yeah. I loved this book. It's very
cute.
It's very quick and accessible. And they, of course, it's not actually New Kids on the Block. It's called Boy Talk and the People on on the cruiser called The Talkers.
The Talkers,
and there's one
yeah.
reluctant talker there, and she's sort of like, she has a bird's eye view to the entire phenomenon. But you also get to know the individuals in the band. They have
Which
these
I
very
loved,
distinct
yeah.
personalities. And you're you like, oh, this is the Joey one, and this is the mm-hmm. this is the John character, this is the Jordan character. It's very, very satisfying. It's
yeah,
fun.
It was a cute, and it's a great, it's a perfect, talk about a good summer, like a beach
oh,
read, pool
summer.
Read, vacation
yes.
read. I love mm-hmm. it. One that is still in my TBR, and you guys, how have I not read it? Because of the title alone and because of what it's about, but it's called Meet the Newmans. And
oh, I love that book.
I still haven't read it yet.
It's very cute. It's
oh,
very
God,
cute.
So cute. And yeah. then Go Gentle was actually an Oprah's Book Club pick, but I love the author, Maria Semple. I've read several
oh,
of
yeah.
her books
mm-hmm.
that are that I own for years ago, decades
yes.
ago, and they're 5-star reads. She's probably about our age. And the synopsis sounds amazing. And another one, a previous favorite book of mine, 5-star read, that I probably picked for the cover about, I don't know, I want to say like maybe 2 or 3 years ago now, is called Mame, M-A-A-M-E, but you pronounce it Mame, by Jessica George. I loved that book. The cover is incredible. She has a new one out right now called Love by the Book. So those are like the top. Yesteryear's my next read.
Yeah.
And then I think
mm-hmm. bump that to the top.
Meet the Newmans keeps getting bumped, but maybe I just need to.
Meet the Newmans is a fictional take on Ozzie and Harriet. Like
yeah.
a fictional behind the scenes of what if we knew what if all was not right in the house of Ozzie and
yeah,
Harriet.
Yeah, it just seems super
yeah.
cute. The cover is just spectacular.
So yeah.
And I mean, my last name's Newman. How do I know?
Right.
I own the book. I just haven't read it yet.
This is so fun, you guys. Summer reading, it's on. Summer reading program is on. I want you to get your reading logs. Okay, Carolyn, can you remind people how they can find our little store on bookshop.org?
Sure. They can go to our website, poppreservationist.com, and then click on the Support Us tab, which will take you to our page that has different ways that you can help support PCPS, one of those being by shopping at our shop on bookshop.org. Well, that's
yeah,
a lot of
shop. Shop, shop.
Shop, shop, shop. Mm-hmm. And so if you click on that link from our website, it will take you directly there. Or right now, I will tell you what that address is if you want to just jot this down. Stop driving. Don't do it while you're driving.
Yeah, really.
But it would be www.bookshop.org/shop/PCPS.
Oh, that's easy.
Boom.
Yeah. So there you go. That'll get you there. Or worst case scenario, just send us a DM.
Yeah.
Email us.
It's in our link tree. It's also in our link tree.
Yes. Okay.
Like if you're on social media, on Instagram, you can hit the link in our bio, which takes you to a whole bunch of other links of ways you can find us, support us, and read things we've done and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Reading will save us all, everybody. I truly mean that. I'm not being cheeky. It's going to save us all. It's going to save our brains. It's going to save our country. Learn, learn, learn. Read, read, read. In mm-hmm. the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast, courtesy of the cast of Three's Company. To good times.
To happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie.
Cheers.
Cheers, everyone. Happy reading.
The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on truckin', and may the force be with you.
Before we dive into today's trip down memory lane, a quick shout out to the fine folks at Remind Magazine, who help keep the nostalgia train rolling. This season, the Pop Culture Preservation Society is proudly sponsored by Remind, the publication that understands your collection of Tiger Beat magazines, TV guide issues, and random lunchboxes is not clutter, it's history. We love when Remind lands in our mailboxes and we can enjoy that analog experience of flipping through its pages and reading all about the classic TV shows and movies and music and all of those pop culture treasures that made us who we are. And as an exclusive offer to PCPS listeners, you can get a full year of Remind magazine for just $12. That's 86% off the cover price. Just go to remindmagazine.com/pop. That's remindmagazine.com/POP. And you can take advantage of this incredible offer. Trust us, you will be so glad you did.